Welcome to Street Talk, a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media, aired on our four Cumulus stations in Syracuse. Street Talk is a weekly show keeping you in touch with the individuals and organizations that work for and serve our community. We're your hosts, Ted and Amy. The Central New York Boat Show was just held last weekend, getting everybody ready for boating season ahead. And even though the boat show is past, it's still not too early to start thinking about planning for the warm waters soon to come, according to Dave White of the New York Sea Grant.
People will say in upstate New York, we only have two seasons, and that is boating season and waiting for boating season. So, you know, those are the two seasons that we have. So right now we're in the waiting for boating season. But, you know, with boat shows in the air and, you know, everybody getting excited, you know, when the sun comes out, it's that time.
Well, we're going to talk about next weekend's boat show. Tell me first off, I mean, you represent the New York Sea Grant. Mm-hmm. And I explain to me just, you know, if people are not familiar with what your organization is all about.
We're actually 50 years old now as an entity, and we are the sister to Land Grant, if you will. That's where the words actually come from. It's a federal and state partnership through in New York through Cornell University and the State University of New York. And we fund research on coastal issues. And in our case, New York being, you know, one of the most unique coastal states in the country, major Atlantic coast, Long Island Sound, Hudson River, and two fabulous Great Lakes and rivers, Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, the Niagara, and St. Lawrence. So we fund research that looks at the issues of the day on those resources. And then the folks I work with, it's our job to bring it out to the fun folks like you and talk about those things as we learn about them, whether it be invasive species, better boating opportunities, socioeconomic, tourism, small business development, you know, erosion control, whatever it may be. That's what our job is to bring it out to folks and to share that information so we can all, you know, learn how we can best enjoy and protect the great, great resources we have here in Central New York. I mean, you hear me say often, you will go no place in the country, probably no place in the world, where a two-hour drive, you can find the resources we have from Central New York. I challenge anybody to try to find that within a two-hour drive.
I know, we're spoiled. You know, those of us that grew up around here, we're just used to having waterways all over the place. And, you know, you and I always see each other at the New York State Fair. And that's what we talk about, the fact that I think we take for granted just all of the opportunities. A lot of us grew up just miles from some sort of waterway.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not only that. I mean, you go from the top of Whiteface Mountain down to Lake Ontario. You know, you talk about the Erie Canal. I mean, you don't find that kind of resource in a lot of places. And, you know, it's such a great ride. And, you know, what I love seeing now is, you know, as we talk about it, you know, and, you know, paddleboards, kayaks, they're boats too. But you're now seeing a lot of those folks on the canal more than ever before. They're having the paddle fests. You know, everybody's getting involved in. And those, to me, are ways people can really get engaged in our waterways, but then really gain a better even appreciation than, you know, sitting on the shoreline looking out at it.
It must make you feel so good, you know, when you hear about the studies of, let's just pick up Onondaga Lake that has gotten so much cleaner. I mean, the eagles coming back to the waterways, you know, people caring about plastic that's being put in the oceans and the lakes and the waterways. I mean, it seems as though people are starting to appreciate water more. Does that make sense?
It does. I think some of the bigger issues that we have, you know, they get the bigger press. But, you know, really, when you think about it, what started back in the 70s, when we were just knee-highs to grasshoppers, as they say, because, you know, we're youngins here. You know, I mean, the efforts that started back then, we're now benefiting from as people started to look at, you know, turning back to the waterfront. You know, turn your business around and face the waterfront. Have that be your front door. And as that began, we've now benefited from that. So, you know, we continue to look at those issues that we want to be ahead of, be it invasive species or plastics, you know, and some of those kind of issues. And it is, because every time we do something like that, it's bringing, and I love when I see youth coming out. Because, I mean, when they start getting out on the waterways and realizing, okay, where is it today? You know, my kids grew up with zebra mussels. So for them, they've always been here. So to them, you talk about that and they go, well, they've always been here. So, you know, what are they now looking at? And maybe it is the plastics or some of the other things that they're not going to take care of, because sometimes we don't even know this stuff is occurring as we're, you know, taking care of some bigger issues as we go through it. So, you know, I love to see it. I love to see kids when they're out on Oneida Lake, they're out on the canal system, they're out on Onondaga Lake. You know, people see the pictures of the bald eagles and they just go, wow. There is no one that can look at that picture and not say, wow, right here, Central New York. Drive down the highway, there they are.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's the majesty. You know, it really is. And that's what gets people excited.
You know, I can't tell you how many people I had the conversation with after I talked to you last year about the inflatable water crafts.
Yes.
Because you talked about that, and that's been a really big thing. I love the fact that you were saying, you know, it's not as though you need a huge truck to trailer. You don't even need a trailer with these inflatable boats. But yeah. Talk a little bit about that. That's amazing.
It is. And that's I love doing it last year because we can talk about everybody can be a boater. I mean, you know, and so, you know, please get in the 7-foot kayak. So 10 years from now, you're going to be in the 25-foot real boat. No, but no, that is. And a lot of folks don't realize, you know, whether it be an inflatable kayak or an inflatable paddleboard or an inflatable boat. I have a 10-foot inflatable boat. Those are boats. If you can be on it or in it on the water, it's a boat. And you might, you know, safety gear you have to have, but it does. It really opens it up. So, you know, again, we're in a great area here. I always encourage the graduate students and undergraduates I work with is if you're not from here, please get out every weekend and think about going someplace, especially when the weather gets nicer. And they're the ones that, you know, well, geez, I can't get out on the water. And I go, why not go rent a boat? A lot of places are now renting, you know, rent an inflatable paddleboard for the weekend. What a great way to get started. And a lot of places are now renting them to help people get started in boating. And they'll give you all the safety equipment. They'll give you the background. Almost every body of water, there's at least one facility that's renting boats that you can go out and take and, you know, to get you involved in it. You know, to me, it's like, you know, when people buy a car, I always say, you know, you ought to go rent one to see if you like it. And if you do, you know, it gets you engaged, it gets you excited. Same thing with boating now. There's so many places you can do that and get engaged. And yeah, I love the inflatables because they are. I mean, the paddleboard I have is actually the size of a backpack.
Well, and you're saying it's not like your daddy's blow-up paddle boat with that, you know, you could pop with like one rock. These are like massively solid things that you blow up.
Oh.
And you can use, what did you say, something on your car.
Yeah, I have an inflator that plugs into, and I'm aging myself when I say it plugs into the cigarette lighter.
We don't call it that anymore.
Yeah, it plugs into the accessory plug. But yeah, and it's an automatic, or the one I have is a hand pump so that if you're away from it, because a lot of these are also designed to carry into much remote settings, which is really nice. What a great way to go out and enjoy some of the reservoirs that we can boat on and some of the remote areas that we have around here that you may not be at a launch, but you're going to do maybe a half mile hike in. These are just great things to be able to take with you. The paddles all fold down, everything fits in the backpack, and you know, you're out doing it. And I really like the inflatable paddleboard. It, you know, when fully inflated, it is as rigid as a standard paddleboard would be. And, you know, and the nice thing, you know, you don't have to stand. You can go out and kneel because a lot of people are like, well, you know, I might fall. You know, we do in-water demos all the time. And the only people that fall in are those that should or that I want to give a shove to. And I'll leave that at that. But, you know, I mean, they're very stable. But, you know, a lot of folks, I say, just go out and kneel on it if you want. You know, and paddle around and really get a chance to enjoy some of the resources.
What else are we looking at? I know pontoon boats are really big around here.
Oh, yes, you can. They are because they are so, you know, as I always say to folks, if you're going to start to look for a boat, you know, a family boat, really think about what do you want the boat to be used for. And any dealer that you talk to, that's the first thing they're going to say is, what do you want your family to do on the boat? And that's how they're going to help you think about what kind of boat do you want to have. And, you know, as you said earlier, you know, it's not your grandfather's pontoon boat anymore. I mean, you know, the ones that have the, you know, the bars that come up and down and, you know, everything on them and all the lights, they provide so much opportunity for the cross that you'll have over your family to do some fishing. Maybe you want to do some tubing, skiing, wakeboarding, you know, sailing around, camping, eating. I mean, some of them have grills on it. So that's where you begin to think back and, you know, what does the family want to do? Because it's going to be a major investment and you're probably going to keep it for X number of years. So, you know, you want to think about what's the family want now? Where's the family growing to? You know, I did that when I bought my boat. You know, where was my family at? Where did I think they were going to be 5 or 10 years with what we want to be doing on the water? And that's what's going to lead you in. Do you want that nice open bow? Do you want a closed bow? Because you maybe you want to have a small cuddy where the younger kids can go up and take a nap while you're out on the water. You know, and you know, the pontoon boats, they're the diverse ones. Do you want, you know, two pontoons? Do you want a tri-tune? You know, for more balance on it? You know, do you want the slide on it? Do you want the diving board on it? You know, do you want one that you could put those on long term? And that's where, you know, the dealers out at the boat show and those folks can really help you think through, what do you want to have your boat do for you? What size vehicle do you have? Got to match it so you can pull it around. You're going to put it in marina. I don't have a trailer for my boat because I didn't have a vehicle to pull it, and I have it stored at the marina. So those are the discussion points you get into. And the nice thing about going to the boat show is, you know, the folks out there, that's what they want to help you do. Yes, they're looking to sell. I mean, you know, it's what it's about. But they also want to help you make the right decision. What kind of boat? And, you know, all the, you know, walk around, you can find out what safety gear you need, what environmental gear, you know, as well. I mean, again, you've talked about, you know, some of the issues we have, but, you know, using a bilge sock, and a lot of people would go, what's a bilge sock? Fuel nozzle bib, you know, some of the newer environmental product that's out there to help keep petroleum out of the water. Those are all the things that even if you have a boat, you go out to the boat show. It's a fun day, but also, you know, talk to the, you know, the folks in the Power Squadron, America's Boating Club, Coast Guard Auxiliary. You know, we're going to have Coastie out there. You know, if you haven't seen it, you know, we also have it at the fair and other events. So those are all opportunities just to be thinking about how do we enjoy, protect, preserve, and, you know, really take advantage, if you will, of the resources we have.
You mentioned water safety a couple of times, and, you know, just always good to reiterate that no matter what kind of craft you're on, you have to wear a life preserver. But they've come, they're not your daddy's life preservers anymore either,
as we
my
call
goodness.
Them the old orange ugly ones.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They really aren't. The inflatables are great. I love to, throughout the entire boating season, any event I go to in partnership with others that have provided, you know, the cartridges, I like to show people how they inflate because many people have never seen them inflate. So, you know, we're always showing people how they inflate, you know, the fact that, you know, and a lot of people will say, well, what if it doesn't work? And my first comment is, well, if you're not wearing any life jacket, it won't work at all anyway. So if you have this on and the inflator doesn't work, it's like being on the airplane. You take the red tube out and you inflate it yourself. So there's backups to it. So, you know, getting people to think about it, but also getting them to see it. I mean, I think you've seen the one I have that's actually the size of like a little fanny pack. So, you know, they come in all shapes and sizes. They're a great opportunity to think about as to what you need to have, you know, having them on board. And we're seeing more and more people wear them. And, you know, as I often this time of year, you know, not only, you know, when you're out there boating, but, you know, if you're an ice enthusiast, float coat, float suit, having a life jacket with you, have an inflatable because it doesn't take up any space. Because when you go through the ice, you want to make sure you're going to survive to rescuability. And sometimes it takes folks a little while to get out there. And we have already seen folks going through the ice this year. This is another one of those odd years. You know, when I got up this morning, it was 45 degrees. I'm going to go to bed tonight. It's going to be 15 degrees. You know, welcome to Central New York. So, you know, we get that soft ice. So for ice fishermen, you know, the folks that are out there enjoying it, the, you know, ice boaters, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of great ice enjoyment as well on top of the water. You got to be thinking about that as well and be thinking about what if you fall through, you know, a life jacket and inflatable, especially like an automatic inflatable. Outstanding, because if you're out there alone, it is going to automatically inflate when it hits the water and bring you right up. It's bright colored. So all of a sudden, you know, somebody's going to see you, you know, they're going to, you know, be by air, or if they're out on a snowmobile or rescue craft, they're going to see you. So those things really can come to bear right now for folks that are out there enjoying our resource.
I know you guys kind of look at the summer ahead and focus on one thing to kind of bring to area marinas and things like that. Are you already knowing what you're going to be focusing on?
Actually, you know, I get a boat every year. It's the Clean and Safe Boat Program. And actually, we just had a boat permanently donated to us, which is a 1967 14-foot Evinrude Playmate with an inboard outboard engine. It is this really cool looking little boat. People are going to walk by and go, what is that? Because it's just this really cool looking thing that then draws them in to be thinking about it. And I'm partnering right now with the Coast Guard Auxiliary and America's Boating Club to have it completely outfitted for a vessel inspection. Because those folks do free vessel inspections. They will come out. They're non-regulatory. They come out for free. They'll come to launch ramps. They'll come to marinas. They'll come to boat clubs. And they will, with boaters, go through their boat with a checklist to say, yes, you meet all of the safety requirements, and here's your sticker. So you actually get a sticker you can put on your boat every year that says you have gone through certification. It's free. There's no regulatory. If you don't meet the criteria, they'll tell you what you need to do to meet it. And a lot of times it might be you need to go get new flares because people forget flares only last 3 years. Or, geez, your fire extinguisher lost its charge. We need to get you a new fire extinguisher. Those things are just great. So we're actually going to be starting this year and through the summer when we're doing events. The boat is going to be outfitted as everything you would need on your own boat if you invited those folks in to do a vessel safety check. And that's really cool. It's the little sticker you see next to the helm that says, you know, this boat certified by. And so that's going to be a fun one, I think. And we're hoping to raise that awareness because it's free. And it just gives you an opportunity to chat with those folks, find out what's going on. They can talk invasive species. They can talk boating ethics. They can answer so many questions, as well as making sure you're good to go for the summer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
David, what am I missing to ask you about? Anything that we want to talk about?
You just do such a great job of just pulling it right out of me. But, you know, and we always go back to you. I mean, no matter what time of year, whether you're in the water or on the water, you know, I'm a safety guy, but I'm also, a fun guy. I'm so sorry.
Oh, boy.
I know. Yeah, push the button. There you go. But, you know, it's such fun. And my big thing is, you know, if you've got all the safety gear, you got all that taken care of as the captain of the boat or, you know, the operator, whomever, everything else comes into play. You don't have to worry about it. So you do it once at the beginning of the year, check everything. You got the life jackets, making sure folks that don't know how to swim have them on, have some inflatable, whatever you have. Then it's all about fun. Because being on the water should be about fun. So take care of all that. Actually, we've taken on the moniker this year at our Boating Information Center and throughout the summer is, you know, boating. We want to educate, enjoy, and the last thing is enforce. It's the three E's. So, you know, we want to educate. We want to help people have a better understanding of it. Totally enjoy boating because you've been educated. You've got all the gear. And hopefully, if you see an enforcement officer, they're just reinforcing what you already know and you can even help them move forward.
Why do I think that the next time I interview you, it's going to be like 60 degrees warmer? Don't you think?
I think it will. I think we're talking fair time, aren't we? And summertime. I like to share this with you. We are talking with the State Fair right now of coming back for another year with our Path Through Maritime History exhibit. And if we are able to, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's with our good friends out at the fair, this year is actually going to focus on basically the history of boating. And we're hoping to have boats, either recreations or originals from the mid-1700s right up to today. People will be able to walk by and really see the progression of recreational boating. You know, maybe have some unique engines out there, propane, electric, you know, as well as gas powered and some wooden boats and some fiberglass boats. And
yeah, those who have not gone through your exhibits in past years, you're missing something because it really is. I mean, a definite look at the history of New York State, but also, you know, experiencing, yeah, the fun of boating around here.
The fun of boating. So, you know, it's a big part of it. I mean, you know, boating and our ability to be on the waterway. I mean, I say to a lot of people, you know, New York was the pathway to the rest of the country. You had to go through here many ways to get to the rest of the country via the Erie Canal or other mechanisms. So, you know, I'll share that with you. So boating might be a real big issue coming throughout the summer with us and carry it right into the fair to share that message with folks. And just think about, you know, there's nothing like when you walk by and go, wow, I remember being out on that boat with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. It brings it all back to us.
To find out more about the New York Sea Grant, visit seagrant.sunysb.edu. Well, St. Joseph's Health has launched a new audio podcast series called St. Joseph's Health Medcast. It's a way to keep Central New York residents informed about a number of different topics by hearing from the health professionals themselves. Today, we feature a portion of the podcast, Minimally Invasive Cardiac Surgery, with Dr. Charles Lutz.
Can you explain a little bit more about robotic surgery and the role it plays in cardiac procedures?
Sure. Robotic surgery is really just a subcategory of minimally invasive cardiac surgery. So the Da Vinci robot basically is what we use to perform surgery by basically avoiding the breastbone dividing incision. So the traditional cardiac surgery incision is basically down the middle of the breastbone. And when we do that, we're dealing with a broken bone. So that really prolongs the patient's recovery compared to not doing that, basically. So with robotic surgery as a minimally invasive cardiac surgery in general, we're going on the side of the chest, going between the ribs. And basically, the Da Vinci robot allows us to do the procedure through the smallest incision possible, so kind of with a limited amount of injury or trauma to the patient's body. So really, for robotic surgery and cardiac surgery, we really use the robot for two procedures in general. So it's basically, it's minimally invasive coronary bypass surgery. And the other procedure that we do is mitral valve repair with the Da Vinci system. So the Da Vinci system really allows us to really basically do the procedures through very small incisions. It gives us the view of the anatomy. It's magnified 15 times. We have 3D vision. So we really get a great view of the anatomy allows us to do very precise work that is very difficult to do without that device. So really, it's coronary bypass surgery as well as mitral valve repair are the two main procedures that we use the da Vinci system for.
Yeah, that sounds pretty incredible. And how do you figure out who is a good candidate for a robotic surgery?
Well, it really depends on the procedure. So let's take coronary bypass. In general, cardiac surgeons are called in to treat what's called three-vessel coronary disease, where patients have blockage in all three major arteries that supply the heart muscle. And that's really a procedure that has to be done through a conventional approach, through the breastbone dividing incision. We can do that procedure in some patients without stopping the heart. So that's one kind of a minimally invasive approach that we can do in certain patients. So for the robotic procedure, we do those procedures in patients that only have single vessel disease, so have basically disease in their left anterior descending coronary artery. So it's an isolated problem. Those are the best candidates. So really part of it depends on the anatomy. In certain patients that have disease in multiple vessels, we can do what's called a hybrid approach. So really there's kind of three ways to treat coronary disease. One is just with medication. Two is with stents. Three is with bypass surgery. So we can combine bypass surgery and stents with this hybrid approach. So we can do a robotic-assisted bypass, and then we could have the cardiologist stent the other vessels. That's a newer procedure. It's a newer minimally invasive technique. We're actually part of a national trial that's kind of evaluating that technique versus other forms of treatment. So that's a newer procedure. So basically we have options, but it really depends on the patient's anatomy and what they need done. Certainly if they have a lot of diffuse disease and need multiple bypasses, then robotic surgery is really not the best option for them. For mitral valve repair, really, it depends if they have to have an isolated mitral valve condition. So mitral valve prolapse, mitral valve regurgitation, which is probably the third most common condition that cardiac surgeons deal with after coronary artery disease and aortic stenosis being number one and number two, mitral valve disease is third. So if a patient just has an isolated mitral valve problem, mitral valve prolapse, those are the best candidates for the robotic mitral procedure.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of facets to this robotic surgery. Typically, how long does it take to get good at?
Well, it's not really a new procedure for us, as we've been performing a robotic surgery since 2004. So really, it sounds new, but it's really not that new for us. We're fortunate that we have two cardiac surgeons, myself and Dr. Zoe at St. Joe's, that perform robotic surgery. So that's pretty unusual in the cardiac surgery field to have two surgeons and all the surgeons that St. Joe's perform minimally invasive surgery.
This is Les Luke, president of St. Joseph's Health. Our new audio podcast series, St. Joseph's Health Medcast, will keep you informed of general health, wellness, and treatment options available today. Each podcast features a doctor from St. Joseph's Health discussing topics such as heart health for women, managing acid reflux disease, or when to go to an emergency room. Visit sjhsyr.org/medcast and start making more informed healthcare decisions today.
Again, you can find the St. Joseph's Health Medcast at sjhsyr.org/medcast. That's it for this week's edition of Street Talk. If you have an issue to discuss or an event or nonprofit organization to promote, or to find out more information about something you've heard on this or past week's programs, call us at area code 315-472-0200 or email amy.robbins@cumulus.com. For events, allow 2 weeks in advance. Street Talk has been a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media. We're Ted and Amy. Thank you for joining us each week here on Street Talk.